Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, it's time to Fast Forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Blinn and Martin Moore.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee, the future of almost everything. That's what we do Thursday on the Upswing. Commerce and community analysis on local and national business issues, unique technology takes and trends, important news you can use with two of the best in the business, Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. Join us today, like we are every Thursday. We're here in the present to give you a little glimpse into the future of business. On the list today, weddings, the rising costs of weddings, some really interesting trends nationwide in terms of how couples are tackling weddings and even looking to charge guests. The prices of apples and how people buy fruit. The future of bookstores, the emergence of the independence bookstore happening right here in the Milwaukee area, but Barnes & Noble expanding pretty significantly around the country. Our bookstore is back. And then Disney and family debt. Oh, man. I'm looking forward to the Mickey Mouse talk with Steve and Martin for sure. And then at the end of the show, how you can help the future of community dentistry. Scott Marshall from Community Smiles Dental will join us at the end of the show to talk about his new role and an opportunity for today. But first, as we do each and every day, two up, Draft and Vessel expanding in Wauwatosa. I had Draft and Vessel owner Nat Davenauer on the show about 2 months ago, talked about his plans to develop a new craft tap room right here in downtown Milwaukee at Velar Phillips Plaza, which just steps away from the Good Karma Brand studio here. Now, latest news from the Milwaukee Business Journal. He just purchased the old Swan Furniture property at 74th and Harwood Avenue in the village of Wauwatosa. According to state real estate records, $725,000 was the investment there. Nat and Draft and Vessel have a tap room in the village of Wauwatosa, so a pretty strategic move for him to buy an adjacent property. I talked to him briefly. He said he doesn't know what he has in store for that property, but I'm guessing because he's building out a new place in Walker's Point and has a location at the Milwaukee Public Market that he'll use it to continue to expand his ever-growing craft and beer business in the area. That'll be something to keep an eye on for sure. And then out this morning, July home sales data. New home sales data is out. U.S. home sales rose slightly in July, ending a four-month streak of declines, and prices remained near record highs, as they are in the greater Milwaukee area as well. The cost of housing become a hot button election issue, that is for sure. The combination of elevated mortgage rates and higher prices have made home buying kind of unaffordable to a lot of Americans. So it will be interesting to see in the coming months whether or not this kind of slight uptick in July will be a mere blip or the beginning of a more substantial recovery in kind of this really crucial segment of the American economy. A friendly reminder, today is the fifth annual Do Good with Food fundraiser to help Children's Hospital. We can make Wisconsin's kids the healthiest in the nation. 41 restaurants and breweries will donate a portion of their sales to Children's today. You can learn more at childrenswi.org/food. Related, a new Yelp list just published yesterday has the top 100 pizza spots in the Midwest for 2024 based upon their aggregated reviews. Two Milwaukee restaurants have made that list, Santino's Little Italy on Stewart Street, and one of the participants in Do Good with Food, actually one of the founders of Do Good with Food, San Giorgio Pizzeria right there and on King Drive, across the street from the Hyatt Regency. Leanne and Gino Fazario are the owners of that business. That's good. I always like seeing when Milwaukee makes these national lists. It makes me proud. You know, we should have this civic championship in everything we do. That's what we're all about on the upswing. When we come back, Martin Moore, Steve Glenn join. Would you pay to attend a wedding? And if you would, how much would you be willing to pay? Flip side, would you charge your guests to attend your wedding? This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, the future of almost everything. Martin Moore, Steve Glenn, join. We are talking weddings. A really interesting story in the New York Times. Planning a wedding, according to the Times, has become so expensive that some couples are asking their guests to pay to attend their special day. The story started in a pretty interesting way. A young guy, 23 years old, is charging his guests. Take a guess, Martin Moore.
I mean, I know
how
the
much?
Answer because I read,
you
the,
read the story. All right. That's a bad question to kick it off. But $450 for a ticket to his wedding next year in Houston, where he lives. Mr. Ahmed said that he hadn't heard back from many of his 125 guests.
Shocked.
But he's already spent more than $100,000 on the wedding, including deposits for the venue, the DJ, and the photographer. I got a bunch more stamps around this.
Who does he have? DJ Jazzy Jeff as the DJ?
I know, jeez.
And who's this photographer?
I mean, what are the economics and the dynamics happening here with weddings? Are people just have these high expectations because the event world that we all live in has gotten so amazing that you feel like, oh, I'm getting married, my event has to be super special, and the only way to finance that is to charge my guests.
I'll tell you,
Martin.
Here we go.
We live in a very materialistic world, and we live in a world where money is, in my opinion, no longer valued with all the loans and credit cards and everything. People are doing with weddings the same thing they do with houses. You go get a mortgage, and you get approved for whatever, $500,000, $750,000. And even if you can't afford that, you're going out looking for $500,000, $750,000 house. People need to, when they're getting married, spend what they can afford on their wedding. And if that's 10 grand, cool. If that's 20 grand, cool. If that's 50 grand, cool. You can afford a $100,000 wedding, more power to you. But if you can't, don't do it.
Well, that's never going
to
happen.
You sure shouldn't be trying to charge people to come to your wedding. I don't want to go to your wedding to begin with, let alone pay for it.
I don't want to go to these things either. Yeah. So I love
marriage.
Coincidentally, I ran into the owner of Chet and Leona's flower shop over on 12th and Lincoln.
Okay.
And, you know, they're in this space.
Yeah.
They're just in it every day. And the interesting take on this topic was, what about charging people who RSVP yes and don't show up? And you account for that in your financially responsible budget.
That'd be nice. We had a few people that didn't show up to our wedding, and you know, I mean, we had a buffet. It was only like $40 a person, but it can add up if you're, you know. But that's the sort of risk you take when you get married. You don't want to run into those problems. Then plan your wedding accordingly to your own personal finances.
Yeah. Aren't we already paying with our gifts?
Yeah, we're already spending our time and money and effort
or
travel. Gifts, accommodations.
Or the smart thing is go get married at the courthouse, take that 100 grand and put it in the stock market wait 20 years because you know what you're never going to do? Let me ask you guys a question. When's the last time you watched your wedding video or looked at your wedding book and sat down with a glass of wine? I'm going to go with in the last. Yeah.
On our anniversary,
I'm
we
not
pull
answering
it out,
that on the radio.
You know, grandparents have
Every
passed away, and it's good to see it. I'm grateful we have it, but no, we're not watching it on a daily basis.
How often do you think about your wedding?
All the time. Come on,
yeah, Mark. Sure.
So, according to a study from the Knot, that wedding planning website, the average cost of a wedding ceremony and reception $35,000. And that's up $5,000 from the year before. So it's not getting any cheaper to get married.
No.
But to your point, Martin, there are a lot of other options, and you don't have to go all in, all out. Just
because it's going to make you feel good, right?
Me and Jen chose to get married downtown, and we paid for our whole weddings ourselves before the day we got married. And you know, I have friends who've been married for a decade and they're like, yeah, we just paid off our wedding. And I'm like, you're crazy. And I have a lot of authority in this space because I used to be a wedding photographer. Yeah, so yeah. I know how expensive it is. Yeah. I know where you can cut corners and save money, and people just choose not to do it. So no, I don't feel bad for you.
Did you charge people?
Me? No, absolutely not.
Average cost of attending a wedding is $580.
It's a lot.
According to that's a lot.
Oh, when you add in all the stuff you were
travel yeah, and yeah. accommodations and gifts and everything
that's
that comes
even
with
if you're
it.
In it.
And then if you got to spend $200
on a
just
suit?
To get in,
yeah,
like no, come on,
absolutely not.
There's a lot of different ways I think that you can manage this. You know, you have the room and venue rentals. That's always negotiable, right? Yeah. You don't have to just say, all right, flat fee, $500 just for the luxury of using the room.
Yeah.
You can find wholesale options on food and beverage, depending upon what space you're in, off time, days of the week.
Yep.
If you're going to have a big ceremony, you don't have to do it on a Saturday.
No.
You can look on Wednesday night. People are doing afternoon weddings. There's a lot of creativity there. And again, you don't have to have a huge ceremony. Find a good priest.
Yeah.
Do it in a church with mom and dad and close friends. Yeah. Go to the courthouse. Yeah. Done.
Yeah. Charge them each $500.
Me and Jen, we had a really small cake and the rest was sheet cake. We didn't need a 7-foot tall, massive cake with, you know, diamonds and stuff on it. We had beer and wine. We didn't have. Did we want an open bar? Sure. And people were like giving us you know, flack for not having an open bar. It's like, well, are you going to pay for it? No. Well, then we're not having it.
That's right.
We're all standing up here, listeners, and I wish you could see how animated Martin is right now.
I hate people who talk with their hands, and I'm doing it right now. And I feel so dumb.
An animated, fun discussion around the future of wedding and wedding pricing. Up next is the future of the coffee house event space.
Yeah.
A new venue in Walker's Point is open. Station 1846 will give you some insights and much more. The future of almost everything. Steve Glenn, Martin Moore. I'm Jeff Sherman, and you're listening to WTMJ.
Don't stay away for too long. Don't go to bed. I'll make a cup of coffee for your head. I'll get you up and going out of bed.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, the future of almost everything. Martin Moore and Steve Glenn join. Is the future of the coffee house event space? Well, it sure seems like it. Meghan Miles moved her business, her core business is a business called City Tours MKE, into a former mechanic shop right on 215 West Bruce Street in Walker's Point this summer. It has emerged in the last several weeks as this kind of expansive cafe, bar, venue,
cocktails.
Workspot,
yeah.
Cocktails called Station 1846.
Yes.
Steve, you've been there several times.
I live
just
there.
Give us what it's all about and kind of why it's maybe the future of what coffee houses are.
So I'm a little, I was a little leery because now I'm turning this on to a lot of people who, you know, we discovered it a little bit early here. It's this mix, like you said, and it's awesome because in the morning the music's quiet. They've got a full coffee bar there, and it's a nice space to either have an event or just hop on a Zoom, and you can transition into the afternoon with meetings with people and have a drink or something and some light food.
Yeah. I mean, it's very in line with what a lot of workplaces are doing, hoping to kind of lure their workers back to the space. They're almost this hotelification of workspace. It's coming
absolutely
to coffee houses because people want to hang out. They want to get work done, but they want it to be social as well.
Yeah. And I don't know if I'd call Station 1846 a coffee house as much as it's a coffee cocktail bar. That has a beautiful space, whether you want to run an event or host people there or just hang out and work.
Hmm.
And it's brilliant. Between that and Wantable, you've got two really like trending places right a couple blocks away.
Yeah, it's really good to see that explosion of those co-working spaces. Even if you have a wonderful office to go to, people want that third space to connect.
Absolutely.
And just to get their creativity going. And it's good to see those places emerging in the greater Milwaukee area, especially in the downtown area. So let's talk a little bit about the hotelification of the office space. What do you need in a workplace to really make it work for you, Martin?
That's a good question. Not a lot.
Yeah.
I need a really good vending machine.
Okay.
That I can walk past 10 times before I finally make a decision on if I'm going to get Gardettos or a Snickers.
Okay. That should be an expensive thing. Yeah, lawyers take
out. Both.
Yeah. I definitely need natural light.
Yeah.
Okay. Natural light. I cannot do emphasize the fluorescent lighting. It's depressing. I need a window. I need to see sun rays. Other than that, I mean, I pretty much ensconce myself in the work that I'm doing and zone out, so I don't really need a whole lot. A cat, an office cat would be nice.
Okay.
That would be ideal, but you know, there's some problems with that. But yeah. I don't really need a lot. I don't really need a bougie office or headquarters, even though it costs. I have a bougie office and headquarters.
Yes.
I need music. I need music.
Yeah.
Yes,
background music.
Yeah.
Is that something you're going to lock into with your headphones, or is that something you think should be?
I think it should
an incentive
be
from the employer.
Yeah, it's when I put headphones on at work, I feel like I'm just disconnecting from everyone. Mm-hmm. And the purpose of me personally being in the office is to connect with people and ideas.
Yeah.
So if it's playing in the background, it's the best. And at MISO, you got the best music playing in the background.
Right.
That is true.
So it's the final day of the DNC in Chicago. Big question companies have. Should they close to let their employees vote?
Yes.
There's a lot of economic and productivity concerns, I'm sure, but you know, it's our civic duty to vote, without a doubt. Patagonia is giving its entire U.S. workforce the day off, but in late October to vote early. But it's one of the first big companies to take this leap. Coke and Salesforce made Election Day kind of a paid day off. Voting leave policies, of course, kind of vary state by state. But what do you think in terms of employers saying November 5th, day off, paid, go vote?
I love it.
I think half day.
Half day is fine too.
Pick the morning or the afternoon. But I definitely think that it would be advantageous just for the communities, the state, the country in general, and just for people. It's stressful. If you're a single mom or a single dad or something like that, like it's tough to get out there. A lot of people probably won't vote because they just don't have the time.
Or they can't.
Yeah. I'm all for it. I've always been 100% for that. I found it bizarre that that hasn't been implemented already.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Me too. Yeah. I mean, there's so many options, obviously, voting beforehand, but the day comes, that's when it's on people's mind. You want to have that flexibility. You know, even considering, should it be a national day off? That people just, banks are closed, everything's closed, and it is our duty to vote.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
All right, put it on the list. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Martin Moore, Steve Glenn, the future of almost everything. What is the future of the independent bookstore? I saw this line last week in the New York Times. One of the many functions of a bookstore Amazon cannot fulfill since the closure of so many brick and mortar stores is hosting of a function. Now, I say this because there's a resurgence a bit happening in local smaller bookshops. Even here in metropolitan Milwaukee, a new local bookstore is opening in Shorewood right on Capitol Drive and Downer Avenue called Wonderland, which is really good to see. And if you look bigger picture at kind of the big boxes, Barnes & Noble is opening 58 stores in 2024, with most of it more openings than it's had since 2009.
Wow.
So I had to ask myself, and I want to ask you guys, is the bookstore, are we back?
Okay, I want to just start this whole thing off really quick with the last time that I have ever read a book from cover to cover, and I am dead serious.
Fifth grade.
Second grade, Chipmunk's Great Adventure. I have never read a book from cover to cover since then. So I don't have any sort of affinity towards bookstores or reading, but I'm genuinely shocked and excited for people who do read, because there's something about having a physical book in your hand and feeling those pages and turning them that you just don't get from an iPad or a phone screen. And so it's great to see and hear that they're going to be thriving and building more brick and mortars.
Yeah. My daughter, Lucy, I have tried to get her to the library. she wants the book. She mm-hmm. wants to own the book, carry the book, have the book, and not have anyone ever tell her to give the book back. We are at Barnes & Noble at least twice a month.
Yeah.
It's a great spot.
You know, I think it's similar to our discussion around co-working. There's a connection and community feel to bookstores, whether they're national or local, that people really appreciate. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. I think there's this perception that, ooh, if you're going to buy a book at a local store, it's going to be a lot more expensive. So I dove into that. I picked a book that I'm currently reading right now. Full disclosure, I'm reading it on my Apple, on my iPad, on iBooks.
Chipmunk's okay. Great Adventure.
So it's a great book by David Brooks. He writes for the New York Times. It's called How to Know a Person, The Art of Seeing Others Deeply and Being Deeply Seen. Great, great Ooh. Book. Price check. Amazon hardcover, $17.99. Apple Books, $14.99. Barnes & Noble, $25.50.
Wow.
Boswell Books locally on Downer Avenue here in Milwaukee, $30. Random House, direct from the publisher, $30. Walmart, $12. So there's a pretty good discrepancy there in the pricing of books. So I don't know, you know, bless the local and independents for surviving and finding ways to kind of fight through with events and finding other ways to grow revenue. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that continues to grow.
And Boswell's done a great job with events and authors and signings and all that. But you know, that what you just said is, what do you want to vote for? What do you want to vote for? What stays selling books?
Yeah. And I think it's unfortunate because a smaller independent local bookstore is never going to be able to compete with something like Amazon or Walmart, mm-hmm. where they're going to be able to strike deals with some of the publishers in get a massive amount of inventory at a very cheap price that just a local bookstore who's going to buy 1, 2, 3 copies of it is just never going to get, and they can't compete with that. And I don't know how you compete with that.
Yeah. From the 262, the WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. I think long-term repurposed local libraries are going to replace the community event gathering function of private bookstores.
Mm.
They may not totally replace, but a lot of them, at least locally here, work together with the independent bookstores on author visits and the like.
Yeah.
So another thing I'm going to add before we go to the break, I'm going to add to Martin Moore's family budget list mm-hmm. is putting books on that list. Put a line item so you can start buying books. Another thing we have in the Sherman family, I have a pretty good relationship with the Tooth Fairy, and we put that in our budget, what each tooth is going to cost us for our kids. Because, you know, the Tooth Fairy's working really hard these days, and I think he or she just needs a day off. Our next guest is going to tell us why. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ.
Shiny teeth and me. Shiny teeth, shiny teeth. Shiny teeth and me. Shiny teeth, shiny teeth.
Welcome back to The Upswing, the future of almost everything. Martin Moore, Steve Glenn, and very special guest, Scott Marshall, Chief Executive Officer, CEO at Community Smiles Dental. Scott, thanks for taking time out of your day to join us.
Thanks so much for having me in here. It's still crazy for you to say Chief Executive Officer, but I guess here I am.
All right. CEO. I love it. Yeah. So I'm looking at back to school time. Everyone's mm-hmm. going back to the dentist, getting the checkups. Her daughter had a cavity. She had a couple, but I got the laundry list of price breakout for a simple resin-based composite. Oh, they're dealing with cavities these mm-hmm. days. $162.82. So in terms of what your organization yes. does, like the impact, the obstacles to quality, affordable dental care yes. are really substantial in the market. So kudos to you on the new job, but give us an overview of what the organization does day to day.
Sure. You know, I will say that a lot of what we say at Community Smiles Dental is we're the best kept secret. And I say that is no good. We need to let the world know about the great work that our clinics are doing. So we've been around for 17 years. We were founded by some concerned school nurses in Waukesha school system. And so we do have a clinic that's kind of the mothership on Barstow Avenue going near downtown of Waukesha. And then we have a clinic that we opened a couple of years ago in Menominee Falls. And potentially down the road, we will find ourselves, no doubt, in Milwaukee due to the need.
Okay.
What we do is we bring in patients for whom their insurance is through Medicaid. Medicaid is a little bit of a challenge because they pay less than, say, usual insurance. So a lot of dentists are not able to bring them in or can't afford to bring them in because of the high cost of dental care. And so that's what we focus on. And so we're the home for families who rely on Medicaid for insurance. And so it's really important to us to be able to provide the exact same service that you would get at your kid's dentist. It's dentists that are paid. It's dentists that actually come for a day or two that have their own private practice. A lot of times they're a partner. The dental hygienists, they're all paid. They're no volunteers. It's an experience. When you walk into our offices or our clinics, it looks like any old dental clinic, but it's for folks who otherwise would not be able to go.
That's awesome.
It's hard enough as a new parent to find a quality, established children's dental entity that you trust.
Mm-hmm.
And that the kid trusts.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So how do you do that outreach with families?
We actually work with Medicaid and we work with local officials to get the word out. Waukesha County has been incredibly helpful as far as getting the word out. We have relationships with Children's Hospital, Frederick, MCW, Advocate Aurora, ProHealth, and all of them know that if they see a family where a child could use this sort of help and they qualify with Medicaid, that they call us.
Mm. Okay.
What are some of the other obstacles in terms of working with kids and schools to get the information to families that need it?
It's hard because it's hard to navigate anything health related. Anybody who is a parent, you know, the first time you're a parent, all of a sudden you have to start thinking about who's your pediatrician. Even before you have the kid, you have to tell the hospital, who's your pediatrician going to be? And then, you know, a little while later, you have to find a dentist. And I know I've had experience with my two kids where at one point we went to one dentist and they just wouldn't go. And there's no good reason for it. They were just very uncomfortable.
Right. And then the teeth start falling out. And as a parent, you're like, whoa, I didn't budget to have my direct relationship with the tooth fairy. How much should that tooth fairy allocate per tooth?
It's a lot more than when I was a kid, I'll tell you that. I'm used to quarters, but
same.
What I got was a quarter.
Yeah. Wow. Well, when we come back, I want to know your thoughts, Scott Marshall, on exactly how much the Tooth Fairy should donate to our kids. How does the Tooth Fairy work each and every day? Does he or she need a day off? And then ways that our listeners in the community can get directly involved with Community Smiles Dental. This is The Upswing. It's the future of everything. We are looking at the future of community dental care. I'm Jeff Sherman. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Let's give away a gift card to the Mine Shaft Restaurant in either Hartford or beautiful Oshkosh. Sherman family, we live in the North Shore, getting close to the end of summer here. We need to get our kids out of the attic, away from the Xbox, and into the $2 million huge game room at the Mine Shaft in Hartford. Great pizza, wonderful bar. Mom and Dad can sit at the bar and talk and hang out and know that the kids are safe and secure and, well, spend a little bit of money up in the big game room, but that's okay. Caller number 6 at 855-616-1620 gets a gift card to the historic Mine Shaft. And a friendly reminder, Steve Glenn, Thursdays, that's today.
Buy one, get one.
Feature buy one, get one free pizza. All right, Steve, I know you have a direct relationship with the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah.
And you and your wife are talking a lot.
Got the red phone.
What's the budget look like? How do you work directly with the Tooth Fairy? How do you manage those dollars in your household?
Yeah, we usually have talks that, you know, $2 to $3 for a tooth these days is, you know, makes the kids really happy. Sometimes they get a little sad when that tooth goes away.
All right.
But, you know, sometimes all the Tooth Fairy has is a $5 on it.
So, or a 20, and you're like, I don't want to go out.
$3.68. What a weird amount of money to find under my pillow.
You never know. Or a gift card somewhere. I don't know.
That sounds like a decent budget number. And we've seen that with our discussion with the Tooth Fairy, too. You know, that $5 point is a pretty good thing. No matter what, the Tooth Fairy is working hard, needs a day off. Scott Marshall, Community Smiles Dental. What are you doing to give the Tooth Fairy a day off?
Well, Actually, it is National Tooth Fairy Day. When I started working at the dental clinic, I looked up holidays, and it was like, oh my gosh, of course, there's a Tooth Fairy Day. And so today's Brilliant. National Tooth Fairy Day, and one of the things that we talked about, since we work closely with the Tooth Fairy
yes.
themselves, is that they work 365 days a year, unlike
Every day.
Santa.
What about the leap year?
Unlike Santa.
366
Santa one day.
Every yeah. day. It's a year-round
We're
job.
Throwing shade. We're throwing shade at Santa. You. We're throwing yeah. shade at the Easter Bunny
one day.
Who's really yeah. getting it done is the Tooth Fairy. And so we thought about that, and we said, you know what? Let's kind of call some attention to the great work we're doing, and let's just say let's give the Tooth Fairy a day off. And what we're doing, because that's money under the pillow that might be lost, is asking folks to donate to Community oh, Smiles cool. Dental by going to toothfairyday.org and make a donation so those families we were talking about earlier can continue to have you know, a dental home at Community Smiles Dental.
And you have a matching grant, too, that the organization will kind of match dollar for dollar thanks to a generous donor?
Absolutely, yeah. We'll be matching every donation up to $10,000 from the Malinger Family Foundation, one of the families that is a really great supporter of our mission. But we're looking for more friends to jump in and be a part of the mission. Anything goes. Anything can get matched. $5, $10, $10,000 if you're feeling it. all of it goes to help folks.
What was that URL again with the website?
Toothfairyday.org.
I'm on it donating right now.
Nice. All right. That's awesome. Done. I love to see it. What other ways are there to get involved in Community Smiles? You have a regular gala. I know I was at it last year. Always comedy based, right?
Yeah, we have Laugh for Community Smiles. Wait, no, Laugh for Community Smiles. I'm still new. I get to play the
my first day.
It's really cool. Really, a lot of galas, they can get a little samey, and I've been responsible for some of those. But it's really great to go and you see Charlie Behrens, or you see Pat McGann, or last year with Caroline Ray. And we're working on some names this year. We're massaging the budget to see if we can get a really great name. Otherwise, honestly, I'm going to put this out there. We need dental hygienists.
Hmm.
It's crazy to think about, but there is a real miss on dental hygienists. Even private practices are looking for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you cannot serve kids without a dental hygienist. And it's just hard. So I'm saying anybody who's getting their dental hygienist degree, anybody who knows somebody who wants to come work in a great mission, go to communitysmiles.org. And come on down, join us.
A ton of jobs there for sure.
Yes.
And you know, you're gonna make decent money too.
Absolutely. We pay the going rate, so a lot of folks might not even think about a nonprofit, but we'll compete. Check us out.
All right. And it's great for the community.
Absolutely.
And most importantly, you're creating sunshine and smiles in all of us. That's what it's all about. Scott Marshall, CEO at Community Smiles Dental. I appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
Thanks so much for letting me tell the story.
Of course.